I'd walk in the water to cover our tracks completely, but I'm not sure Peeta's leg could take the current. Although the drugs have erased the infection, he's still pretty weak. My forehead hurts along the knife cut, but after 3 days, the bleeding has stopped. I wear a bandage around my head, though, just in case physical exertion should bring it back. As we head up alongside the stream, we pass the place where I found Peeta camouflaged in the weeds and mud. One good thing, between the downpour and the flooded banks, all signs of his hiding place have been wiped out. That means that, if need be, we can come back to our cave. Otherwise, I wouldn't risk it with Cato after us. The boulders diminish to rocks that eventually turn to pebbles, and then, to my relief, we're back on pine needles and the gentle incline of the forest floor. For the first time, I realize we have a problem. Navigating the rocky terrain with a bad leg, well, you're naturally going to make some noise. But even on the smooth bed of needles, Peeta is loud. And I mean loud, loud, as if he's stomping his feet or something. I turn and look at him.
What?
He asks. You've got to move more quietly, I say. Forget about Cato, you're chasing off every rabbit in a 10-mile radius.
Really? He says. Sorry, I didn't know.
So we start up again, and he's a tiny bit better, but even with only one working ear, he's making me jump. Can you take your boots off? I suggest.
Here?
He asks in disbelief, as if I'd asked him to walk barefoot on hot coals or something. I have to remind myself that he's still not used to the woods, that it's the scary, forbidden place beyond the fences of District 12. I think of Gale with his velvet tread. It's eerie how little sound he makes, even when the leaves have fallen and it's a challenge to move at all without chasing off the game. I feel certain he's laughing back home. Yes, I say patiently. I will too. That way we'll both be quieter. Like I was making any noise. So we both strip off our boots and socks, and while there's some improvement, I could swear he's making an effort to snap every branch we encounter. Needless to say, although it takes several hours to reach my old camp with Rue, I've shot nothing. If the stream would settle down, fish might be an option, but the current is still too strong. As we stop to rest and drink water, I try to work out a solution. Ideally, I'd dump Peeta now with some simple root-gathering chore and go hunt, but then he'd be left with only a knife to defend himself against Cato's spears and superior strength. So what I'd really like is to try to conceal him somewhere safe, then go hunt and come back and collect him. But I have a feeling his ego isn't going to go for that suggestion.
Katniss, he says, we need to split up. I know I'm chasing away the game.
Only because your legs hurt, I say generously, because really you can tell that's only a small part of the problem.
I know, he says. So why don't you go on? Show me some plans to gather, and that way we'll both be useful.
Not if Cato comes and kills you. I tried to say it in a nice way, but it still sounds like I think he's a weakling. Surprisingly, he just laughs.
Look, I can handle Cato. I fought him before, didn't I?
Yeah, and that turned out great. You ended up dying in a mud bank. That's what I want to say, but I can't. He did save my life by taking on Cato after all. I try another tactic. What if you climbed up in a tree and acted as a lookout while I hunted? I say, trying to make it sound like very important work.
What if you show me what's edible around here and go get us some meat? He says, mimicking my tone. Just don't go far in case you need help.
I sigh and show him some roots to dig. We do need food, no question. One apple, two rolls, and a blob of cheese the size of a plum won't last long. I'll just go a short distance and hope Cato is a long way off. I teach him a bird whistle. Not a melody like Rue's, but a simple two-note whistle, which we can use to communicate that we're all right. Fortunately, he's good at this. Leaving him with the pack, I head off. I feel like I'm 11 again, tethered not to the safety of the fence, but to Peeta, allowing myself 20, maybe 30 yards of hunting space. Away from him, though, the woods come alive with animal sounds. Reassured by his periodic whistles, I allow myself to drift farther away and soon have two rabbits and a fat squirrel to show for it. I decide it's enough. I can set snares and maybe get some fish. With PETA's roots, this will be enough for now. As I travel the short distance back, I realize we haven't exchanged signals in a while. When my whistle receives no response, I run. In no time, I find the pack, a neat pile of roots beside it. The sheet of plastic has been laid on the ground where the sun can reach the single layer of berries that covers it. But where is he? PETA! I call out in a panic. PETA! I turn to the rustle of brush and almost send an arrow through him. Fortunately, I pull my bow at the last second and it sticks in an oak trunk to his left. He jumps back, flinging a handful of berries into the foliage. My fear comes out as anger. What are you doing? You're supposed to be here, not running around in the woods. I found some berries down by the stream, he says, clearly confused by my outburst. I whistled. Why didn't you whistle back? I snap at him. I didn't hear. The water's too loud, I guess, he says. He crosses and puts his hands on my shoulders. That's when I feel that I'm trembling. I thought Cato killed you, I almost shout. No, I'm fine. PETA wraps his arms around me, but I don't respond. Katniss? I push away, trying to sort out my feelings. If two people agree on a signal, they stay in range, because if one of them doesn't answer, they're in trouble, all right?
All right, he says.
All right, because that's what happened with Rue, and I watched her die, I say. I turn away from him, go to the pack, and open a fresh bottle of water, although I still have some in mine. But I'm not ready to forgive him. I notice the food. The rolls and apples are untouched, but someone's definitely picked away part of the cheese. And you ate without me. I really don't care. I just want something else to be mad about.
What? No, I didn't, PETA says.
Oh, and I suppose the apples ate the cheese, I say.
I don't know what ate the cheese, PETA says slowly and distinctly, as if trying not to lose his temper, but it wasn't me. I've been down by the stream collecting berries. Would you care for some?
I would, actually, but I don't want to relent too soon. I do walk over and look at them. I've never seen this type before.
No,
I have, but not in the arena. These aren't Rue's berries, although they resemble them, nor do they match any I learned about in training. I lean down and scoop up a few, rolling them between my fingers. My father's voice comes back to me.
Not these, Katniss. Never these. They're nightlock. You'll be dead before they reach your stomach.
Just then, the cannon fires. I whip around, expecting PETA to collapse to the ground, but he only raises his eyebrows. The hovercraft appears 100 yards or so away. What's left of Foxface's emaciated body is lifted into the air. I can see the red glint of her hair in the sunlight. I should have known the moment I saw the missing cheese. PETA has me by the arm, pushing me toward a tree.
Climb. He'll be here in a second. We'll stand a better chance fighting him from above.
I stop him, suddenly calm.
No, PETA. She's your kill, not Cato's.
What?
I haven't even seen her since the first day, he says. How could I have killed her?
In answer, I hold out the berries. Chapter 24. It takes a while to explain the situation to PETA. How Foxface stole the food from the supply pile before I blew it up. How she tried to take enough to stay alive, but not enough that anyone would notice it. How she wouldn't question the safety of berries we were preparing to eat ourselves.
I wonder how she found us, says PETA. My fault, I guess, if I'm as loud as you say.
We were about as hard to follow as a herd of cattle, but I try to be kind. And she's very clever, PETA. Well, she was, until you outfoxed her.
Not on purpose. Doesn't seem fair somehow. I mean, we would have both been dead, too, if she hadn't eaten the berries first. He checks himself. No, of course we wouldn't. You recognized them, didn't you?
I give a nod. We call them Nightlock.
Even the name sounds deadly, he says. I'm sorry, Katniss. I really thought they were the same ones you'd gathered.
Don't apologize. It just means we're one step closer to home, right? I ask.